It's a joy to be in church today, and I trust that the week, although it may have gotten crazy on some of you, that's been good, and it has been for us. My daughter, the youngest one, Allie, she got her learner's permit this week, and so watch out, but she is over getting her, they didn't go to the one down here in Johnson City. We took her to Bluntville because figured it'd be, got an appointment there, figured it'd be less crowded and whatnot. And so there was a fellow there from Australia. He was getting his license. He moved over this way. And there was also another foreign country. I think they were from California. Those people were coming to get their license. But this one was from Australia. And so the clerk at the DMV was telling everybody, as Allie and Amy were in there, she was on the paperwork. And so they were in there. And so the clerk was telling, hey, tell to the guy from Australia, tell him what you like about living in Kingsport, Tennessee. He moved this way, and however Kingsport became his home, I don't know. And he said, oh, I like America. He said, no, tell him what you told us. Tell him the three things. And he said, well, and in his Australian accent, he said, I like the Bill of Rights. And he said, I like One Nation Under God. And I like God's Chicken. And then he went forward and described God's Chicken, in his estimation, was Chick-fil-A. So he was glad to get to America for those three things. So you ought to be blessed. He got it so good here. So he was certainly glad to be there, that's for sure. But, well, it's a joy to be in church today. And I trust that you'll settle in there. Give me the next 15, 20 minutes. And I would like to deliver to you what I believe the Lord would have for us. We've got many folks I want you to pray for. But I want to keep this up to date. I want you to be praying for Brother Rusty Stover. That's Brother Larry and Linda Stover's son. He's over in the hospital at Franklin Woods. Please keep him in your prayers. And then also, Katie Davenport gave my wife an prayer request about her cousin's newborn. Little Anna Grace has some spinal muscular issues that they're going to have to address, and they just really need a lot of prayer. So would you pray for that little one, Ava Grace, and asking the Lord to bless there. And then Miss Virginia Mosier went home to be with the Lord Thursday, Friday, a wonderful Christian lady. I did not meet her. She was in a care facility by the time I got here, and they weren't allowing visitors, but that service will be on Thursday, and the time I've got somewhere. Somebody know that? Stephanie's not in here. Let me see here. I'll get it for you. Sorry, being so informal. The visitation is from 4 to 7 on Wednesday night before service. So they did that so that you could make it to service, then come over here. It's at Tittrick Funeral Home. And then the service is Thursday at 12 noon. It's also at the funeral home. So that'd be for Miss Virginia Mosier, 4 to 7 on Wednesday before the service at Tetrick Funeral Home, and then the service the next day at 12 at the funeral home as well. So I want to make sure you had that announcement. Well, let's get down to it, shall we? 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And I want to preach to you for a little while about this subject. Remember what I told you, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you while you're finding your place there in 2 Timothy. If you're looking hard for it, it's right after 1 Timothy, so it's easily found there. I did hear a story about this pastor that had made a huge mistake, and had a ladies' meeting, and he was arranging all the stuff, sending out for the ladies' auxiliary, and it was going to be a garden party outdoors in a certain section of the property there, and he realized he had forgotten the most influential lady of the church. She didn't get an invitation. He realized as soon as he did, he said, oh, I didn't. They were coming in. He understood, realized that he didn't. And so he went to the office and called and begged her forgiveness. I'm sorry. I should have invited you. And but she wasn't budging. No, that's okay. I'm not. I don't think I can come. And I don't want to come. And he said, oh, please. I really want you to come. And he begged and begged. But she said, no. She said, it's not going to be a very good party. He said, it's not going to be turn out good anyway. He said, what do you mean? He said, no, I really need you to come. No, it's not going to be that great anyways. And he said, what do you mean it's not going to be that great? She said, because I already prayed for rain. So if you're that lady, stop. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to preach to you for a little while. Remember what I told you. I can picture an old gentleman here telling somebody, now remember what I told you. Think of a guy sitting on the front porch. Say, hey, I told you. Don't be that way. Or I told you that was going to happen. I saw this sign one time. It was a cartoon, and it was out in the desert. And as you made your way out the desert road, there was a sign right by a gas station that said, last chance for gas. And then the cartoon went on from there, and a fellow was walking back with a jug and back to there. And the guy at the gas station referred him back to the sign, which he had passed. He said, no, I told you that was your last chance. You don't get any gas this time. So I'm thinking about somebody giving those advice. Remember what I told you. Remember I told you it's going to be this way. And here we have God using Paul to give Timothy some instruction. I know it's some advice given to a young preacher, but I'm going to put all of you in the preacher category tonight, or today rather, and just give you some thoughts here that I believe would be good for Buffalo Ridge as we get started back into reaching people. We get, I say started, many of you have been taking it tracks and we've been doing it all along, but as we get officially started with Sunday school and then bus ministry. The Bible says in verse number 6, as he's given the instruction here, wherefore, because of all those things, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Obviously, Paul had been there at his ordination, literally put his hands on him, setting him apart for the ministry. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, me his prisoner, but be thou the partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. One more verse, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us in your name, I pray, dear Lord, to get what you need for us or want to for us to get. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a little medallion on my one bookshelf there in my office that it says Brazil. Brother Pritchard gave it to me to remind me to pray for him and pray for the ministry as they're trying to get gospels and Bibles and get the Word of God down there and get the ministry going. And it's given as a reminder. You've got stuff like that. Some of us have knickknacks all over your house. I'm not much of a knickknack fella, but you've got knickknacks that remind you when you were at the Niagara Falls. They remind you of when you were at the Grand Canyon. They remind you of when you were somewhere else. And those knickknacks are reminders to put forth. Well, the Apostle Paul here, by God's inspiration, is telling young Timothy, remember, giving him some reminders of some things that he's supposed to do. If you like old movies, It's a Wonderful Life is shown, the most popular Christmas movie, I suppose. Uncle Billy ties strings on his fingers to remind him to do something and then forgets what it's there for. But he's reminded to do different things. And you have that. I put reminders on my phone so that in the middle of the day you're supposed to do something. I was with somebody the other day and their phone was ringing and going off. I said, that's okay. I'm just supposed to take some medicine. And so they were supposed to shut that off, take their medicine, then go on the rest of the day. We've got reminders everywhere. And here we have one from the scriptures that the apostle has given this young preacher. Says, remember some things. I put thee in remembrance of this. And I hope that today that you'd allow me to give you some of the things that were given here to the reader. I see number one in verse number 6 that we're supposed to remember that we are saved to serve. Let me see what, show you what I mean by that. Hey, look at verse number 6, if you will. I put thee in remembrance. Okay, don't forget this, young fella. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The vast majority of the people in this room, you're saved. And not only are you saved, but you've set yourself apart to some degree. Why else would you come on a Sunday morning? Why aren't you asleep? It's only 9:03. You should be sipping coffee on your back deck somewhere, according to the world. Why would you be here? You don't leave now, please. I that wasn't allowance to go do that. That was just saying in the world's estimation. You're not only saved, most of you, you're set apart to say, I want to do something for the Lord. We had a prayer meeting yesterday at 7, and some men gathered together and prayed. Why would they do that at 7 o'clock? Don't there, ain't there anything else to do? Yes, there's lots of things to do, but you've set yourself apart. And so as I look at this, I see that the apostle is telling this young Timothy, but now I'm telling you, remember, as you're going to stir up. Do you remember being in a revival meeting sometime when you were a youngster, or maybe when you were a young adult, maybe when you were freshly married, whatever, and you, God stirred your heart. You said, I'm going to raise this family for Christ. I'm going to make sure that this family steps out from the world. I'm going to be this, or I'm going to do that. I'm telling you, asking you this morning to reach back in your mind's eye and say, I remember when I did that. I remember when I stood at the marriage altar and I grabbed my wife by the hand. I said, we, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I believe that many of you, you've been set apart for service. You are a Sunday school teacher, you're a bus worker, you're a nursery worker, you're an usher, a greeter, one of the musicians, whatever it is. You decided sometime in your life when you said, you know, I do have a little bit more to give for the Lord. I'm asking you to remember that time. The apostle says to young Timothy, stir up the gift that was in thee. So number one, remind yourself that you are saved to serve the Lord. You say, Brother John, I can't serve much anymore because of my age. I'm getting back to that here on the next one just in a moment. But you say, well, maybe I can't do much. I'll get to you. But remind yourself that you and I are saved from the flames of hell for a purpose. Let me show you what I mean by that. Why are you here? I don't mean why you're here this morning. Why are you here? I don't mean why you're here in Gray, Tennessee. Why are you here on this earth? You say, well, I'm here to enjoy life. God's given me richly all things to enjoy. Well, if that be true, and that is, but if you're here to enjoy life, won't heaven be a lot better? Bobby Brown, you think this is better than heaven, or heaven's going to be better than this? Heaven's going to be better than this. Are we here to advance ourselves and be the... We can put all kinds of motivational sides on, oh, we're here to be the best that we can be. Are we here to advance ourselves? Our glorified bodies are going to be a whole lot better than these bodies. How many of you have some aches and pains this morning? You say, John, I can't remember when I haven't had aches and pains. I have a big pain. He's sitting right beside of me. Well, don't confess that to me, okay? Were we here to advance ourselves? Our glorified bodies are better. Are we here to have friends and be a friend to different people? The fellowship in heaven will be much better than what it is here. Because there you'll have a glorified body. There you won't be talking behind somebody's back. There somebody won't be talking about you behind your back. We will have better fellowship. We'll have better love. We'll have better all of these things. So all of those things and a whole lot more, they can be accomplished better in heaven than they are here. You going to be a better friend there or here? Well, you won't be so carnal there. We won't be, so we'd be better there. Every one of those things would be better accomplished in heaven than here. So we can deduct from that we're left here on this earth to do something we can't do there. And the thing that we can't do there that we can do here is find folks that don't yet know the Savior. We get to serve the Lord with gladness, reach people for Christ, and as Paul tells Timothy, he says, stir up the gift that's within you, because now Timothy's been in heaven for years and years and years, for centuries, and we understand that he took that admonition, he took that remembrance, he took that advice, and he served the Lord. Am I going to? Remember, the Bible says, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Here's where I'm getting back to some of you. I have folks tell me all the time that, well, Brother John, by whatever they call me, I just can't do much because of my age. Can I tell you this? Your service may be different now than it was when you were the one leading the junior church. Your service may be different now than what it was when you were having 40 or 50 on your bus. Your service may be different than what it was 30 years ago, but we still need you. The way forward is on our knees as we pray and we ask the Lord to bless and work and do a great thing in this place. My friend, you never get out of the ministry. You never get out of where we need you to be in the ministry. Now, I don't care if you're 8, 18 or 88, we need you. You say, well, I can't climb up on a bus. I can't do a junior church, or I can't even be an usher all the time because of some health issues. My friend, nothing stops us from praying. Remember, the Bible says, that you stir up the gift that was in you. My friend, please don't buy into the lie of the devil when he says that you just can't do anything anymore. Oh, hogwash. That's a fancy word for some of you folk, I understand. There are opportunities to serve the Lord everywhere. I need all of you, if you would, to go in prayer for me tomorrow and then the next day and the next day and ask God to bless me, but ask Him to bless the assistant pastors, ask Him to bless the staff, ask Him to bless and work and give us wisdom about things that we've got to decide around here, and then give us great power as we try to get these buses back on the road. And you say, well, I can't do much. What more can you do but pray? And there's other opportunities. You can put tracks in bills as you go back. You're mad about your electric bill anyways. Put a gospel track in there. That'll show them. Witness to a salesman. If he's there selling you something, say, okay, I'm interested in buying it, but I got to give you something. I want 5 minutes first. Use the way things you use. Put a track with a tip. If it's not a good tip, put a track from a different church, but make sure you put a track with a tip. And take one of our Dunn books that we have around here and give it to your doctor. When you go for some follow-up visits, take one and say, I got a gift for you I'd like to give, and I'd like for you to read it. My friend, I'm just telling you, you've got to remind yourself that you're in the service of the Lord. Why do we have to remind ourselves? Because we forget. How many of you sometimes let 2 or 3 days go by and you forget what we're really supposed to be here for, and that is to glorify the Lord? We get so busy, like the Bible says about that one servant here and there, that we forget what we're really here for. Why are we all here? Hey, that one fellow that was preaching at the nursing home, and he was trying to be this really deep thinking preacher, and he asked the question to those folks in the nursing home and said, why are we all here? And he was trying to drive home there's a great purpose in life, and there's a great deepness to the reasoning you might be here. And he said that over and over and over again. Finally, he asked that last time, he said, why are we all here? This one lady had about as much as she could stand. She wheeled her wheelchair up. She said, listen, when I can't remember why I'm here, I just go ask one of the attendants at the desk, and they always tell me who I am and why I'm here. So I'm asking, why are we all here? It's not just to have our houses and to have our stuff and to get our education and to have our fun. Yes, all those things are good. There's nothing wrong with any of those. But we are here to serve the Lord. I remind you of that. Number two, not only to remind yourself that you're saved to serve, or I could say it like this, stir it up. But then look in verse number 7. Remind yourself that you're not supposed to be defeated by fear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's not given us that spirit. What is it keeps you from inviting somebody to Easter Sunday? Say, hey, I'd like to have you sit by me for Easter. What is it that we fear rejection? I mean, that's just legitimate. That's obviously why. That's why we don't do it. Either the first point got you and you forget what we're here for, or the second point gets you. You're afraid. You remember, but you're afraid. Paul hits both of them to young Timothy. He says, don't forget and then have power. Don't have fear. We fail to do that because we've got the fear of rejection. Why don't we take a Sunday school class or help somebody in a class or say to Brother Jordan, hey, you're over there in the kids' class. I'll help you. Why do we do that? We have a fear of commitment. Sometimes we have a fear of work. What is it that keeps us from helping with security or with one ministry or another ministry or the bus or all these other things? Satan has hamstrung us with fear. But I want to remind you quickly what the Bible says about fear. Because all of us, we're afraid of commitment. We're afraid of getting up and speaking in front of somebody. We're afraid of rejection. Well, what if they don't want to come to church? And then that's going to be awkward, because I asked my coworker if he wants to come to Easter service. And he said, well, I don't know. That's going to be awkward. And he or she says no. Well, am I willing to bear that for Christ? So fear, let me give you a few verses about that. The Bible says in Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18, fear thou not, for I am with thee, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, whom shall I fear? The Bible asks in Psalm 27. Nobody, of course, but the Lord is with you. I sought for the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. A preacher had a daughter that was afraid of the storms, and one night a storm was just horrendously crashing and the lightning and the thunder, and so she climbed up in bed with Dad. The rest of the family wasn't there. And she was all right because all that was going on, and she just stayed close. But then the noise stopped and the lightning stopped, and Now she was scared because nothing was happening. She was scared because something was happening. Now she's scared thinking, when's going to come back? And it was dark there and she couldn't hear anything. And she reached over to her dad's face and asked him, are you looking at me? Because for some reason, her little mind, if her dad was looking at her, then the trouble that was going on was okay. The Bible says in Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their unto their cry. What are you afraid of this morning? Undoubtedly, the Lord has brought somebody to your mind that you know you ought to, in some way or another, witness to them. Maybe it's not an official, hey, I've got my Bible here, I want to show you some. Maybe they already know that. But you know you ought to give them a little, another little nudge. But as the old little the kid's song goes, the devil, he's a sly old fox. He gets us afraid on one front or another. He gets us afraid that we don't want to look silly. Or he gets us afraid because we don't want to make them angry. Or he gets us afraid because maybe that'll put me in a different light with them and I just don't know if I want to do that. I'm telling you this morning, remember what I told you, it was my title, and remember that you're saved to serve. There's a reason God left us here. Not just so we can have the nicest house on the street. We ought to have a nice house on the street, that's a good testimony. But if that's all God wanted us to do, He'd let us get it to the nicest place and take us up. You know, we bought a house from Steve and Jeanette, and it was outside and inside too. It was just neat as a pin everywhere. And Steve's just immaculate in keeping that. I may have a bad position because my house is going to go down from here. Because Steve's got a great job with shrubs and all of that stuff. So if my job was to have my house be the nicest, then we should have bought it, signed the papers, and God took us up. He didn't save me to leave me here to impress my neighbors with our house. He saved me and left me here to reach some people with Him. He said, I know, preacher, that's for you. No, that's for all of us. You understand, I'm not commanded to reach people for Christ because I'm a preacher. I just have extra responsibility because I am a preacher that I'm really supposed to do a lot of it. But I was supposed to reach people with the gospel long before God called me to preach. Because all of us are supposed to do it. We're supposed to be looking when you go to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or anywhere else. And you're supposed to be looking when people come up to your house asking about this, that, or the other. As we have been doing here as the contractors, subcontractors come in for our auditorium remodel. We don't catch them all, but all of them that we can, we catch and we corner them in a kind, gracious way. Confront them with the gospel. Why else would we have, or why? How else could we behave if people are coming to a place that years ago, property that was bought for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel? How could we sleep at night if we didn't give the gospel to the people who come on our property? And then how can we also, when people come into our house, not share a word for the Lord? My friend, I'm trying to tell you that we want to remind ourselves that we're saved to serve, and that remind ourselves we're not supposed to be defeated by fear. And number three, I give you this one from verse 8. I tell you first, number one, stir it up. Number two, don't get down on yourself or defeated. And then number three, stand up for Jesus. Remind yourself to keep standing. Verse 8, are you looking there? The Bible says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel. Boy, isn't that a tough one right there? We're not going to tear that one apart, but be the partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Most of us are saying, I'd like the gospel without affliction, please. You know, like I don't want chives on my baked potato. I like gospel without affliction. I'll take the non-affliction gospel, please. I like the one with no recourse. I'd like the one with no strange looks. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Remind yourself to keep standing for Christ. The Bible says there's no discharge from this war. Again, I don't care how old you are. God doesn't say, oh, you've reached the old age. You don't have to anymore. your ministries may change greatly. Now your main ministry may be praying for the church, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and for our missionaries. Because that's what your body will back up. Like the one old fellow said, boy, I'd be doing great, except I feel bad so much of the time. I feel bad. He said, my mind is writing checks that my body can't cash. And so you've been trying to cash some bad checks for years, some of you. I understand you may not be able to physically do what you used to do. That's not the point of this message. My point of this message is not to get you rallied up and to get you to step back into a junior church or a Sunday school or a teen class. If God leads you to do that, great. But my purpose in giving you this message is to remind all of us that we've all got a job to do. There is no discharge from this war. There's no place that we get off the boat. There's no place that we stop. There remaineth a rest for the people of God, but that rest is coming when we get to heaven's shore. If God's left you here, that means He's still got something for us to do. You've got some grandkids that need to be prayed for. Brother Farrell preached a message on prayer. You've got some grandkids that aren't yet in the family of God. Your job as a grandparent is to go on before God on your knees and pray and say, Lord, by God, your grace, I want to see them say, you've got ministry to do. You've got work to do. And you ought to remind yourself that regardless of my age, I need to keep standing for Christ because there is no time for me to get off the boat. I heard a story of this little old preacher. He was about at 90 or 91, true story. And he was a retired preacher. He was now by this time frail and skinny, but he would still get out. He would still get around. And he came after a preacher had preached a message, and he came down to the front and he asked the preacher, the pastor, if he could say a word. And he said, sure. And he got his bony little arms and he lifted them to the sky and he said in a broken voice, he said, I retired from my ministry. He told a little bit about what he did. But he said, there's a need is so great. He lifted his bony little 90-year-old hands to the sky. He said, the need is so great to tonight, I'm relisting. What's going to make us stop? I hope nothing. Remind yourself to keep standing for Jesus Christ. I know this world is wicked. You don't have to tell me. I know we just came through, we've been through into a season of great turmoil with COVID and all that. I understand all those. I know the Bible position about marriage and the fact that God made male and female, created He. I understand that everybody doesn't like the Bible position, but can I remind you that we don't necessarily defend the Bible as far as that goes, because we didn't write it. It's God's business. But I know that all the time the positions aren't popular, but let's remember who saved us. In verse number 9, who saved us and called us with a holy calling. And the Bible says He saved us, He called us, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. If God had not wanted us to do something, then He wouldn't have called us. He wouldn't have put that burden in our heart. He wouldn't have put us in the preaching. And we understand that He saved us, He called us according to His own purpose. So as your mom would tell you from upstairs, when you run out to catch the bus, hey, don't forget your jacket, your books, your clothes, whatever you had for practice after, whatever. Mom hollers from upstairs when she's getting ready for her day and you're already ready, fed and all that, you're going out the bus, don't forget. As she would tell you that, I tell you this morning, don't forget you're saved to serve the Lord. You say, me? Yeah, all of us. God saved us so that we could then get involved in serving the Lord. You say, I don't know what to do. Well, God will show you that too. Just keep asking Him. Remember, we're saved to serve. Remember not to be defeated by fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear. Remember not to let fear rule our lives. You know when I would witness for the Lord, if I did it, when it was comfortable? Rarely ever. Because I can always find an excuse why I shouldn't give somebody a gospel tract. Can't you? Is it just so easy for you, I can't get enough out? If you're like me, you're always thinking, they don't want to hear that. The devil will put lots of vain imaginations in my mind. go up to a door. My name is John Herdman. I'm the pastor over here at the church. I'm thinking of 1,000 things that they're going to say to me, and none of them are like, oh, so thank you for coming. It's always the negative that I think they're going to say. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I'm telling us, God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. So if God didn't give it, where'd it come from? There's two sources for these things, right? If God didn't give it to us, it must come from the other side. I remind you, as your mom did, don't forget your coat. I remind you, don't forget we're saved to serve. Don't forget God didn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live boldly. And then don't forget to keep standing for Christ, regardless of where you are, how far you've been on the road for the Lord. Keep standing for Him. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, the gospel message is so sweet that Jesus Christ, our Savior, left heaven's glory and came and died on the cross so that everyone, everyone, everyone could be saved. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, Lord, that important message is now what we're entrusted with. And I pray that you would impress upon my friends again, afresh and anew today, would you remind them and me that we are saved to serve. Lord, if we don't do something this week to get the gospel out, may you convict us. If we don't get a gospel track out to somebody, to our waitress, to our checkout, to whoever, if we don't do something, dear Lord, may you remind us that what we're here for. And then, Lord, would you not let my friends live in fear? And would you remind them that there's no place to get off the boat? There's no exit on this highway. We're supposed to keep on serving until you take us up. Bless us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. As Miss Carmen begins to play, as she plays, would you stand together? If you're able to stand, and if God spoke to your heart this morning, can I challenge you to re-enlist? The little old preacher that stood with his arms raised toward heaven and says, people, I was afraid and I retired, but tonight I'm re-enlisting. Maybe you'd re-enlist. Would you get on my prayer team? Would you get on my prayer wagon? Would you start praying for your pastor? Would you start praying for Brother Dan? Would you start praying for the workers of the church? Would you start praying for the ministry? Would you pray for wisdom for me so I know what to do? Would you pray for the buses as they go out next Sunday? Would you pray for the Sunday school teachers that will meet here in a half an hour? Would you pray for finances to come into the church? You know, we spent a great deal in this auditorium. Would you pray the Lord would increase our finances so that we could do the next big project that He leads us into? Would you take that on as a prayer request? You say, I guess I was beginning to think there wasn't nothing else left for me to do. Oh, no, we need you. I wonder if the Lord wouldn't bring somebody by your house this week. Maybe working on a project. Maybe a contractor that's coming in to check a leak or to check a window or to check a siding or to check something. You don't know until you ask them, hey, could I share something with you? Would you give me 5 minutes to let me share something with you? If you can't do that, you can at least take one of the gospel tracts and say, hey, if you don't have time, would you read this sometime when you're in your van? If you're here this morning and you say, Brother John, I want to be on this front line for the Lord. I want to keep on serving Him. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a preacher's wife. Immaterial to me. But I want to serve the Lord until He takes me on to heaven. I challenge you, if that's you this morning, just tell the Lord. Doesn't matter what I think. You tell the Lord. Lord, like the kids used to say, I may never march in the infantry. I may never ride in the cavalry. I may never shoot the artillery, but I am in the Lord's army. You remember that great theological treatise there? It's got a good truth in it. Would you tell the Lord there, Lord, I'm in your army. Until you decide to take me to heaven, and I'll know my tour of duty is over. If you're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved, would you do us a favor and just simply step out from your seat. I'm watching. I'm right here looking at the front. If you're not sure you're saved this morning, I'd like to invite you to come. As they play just a little bit more, would you step out and come? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You'll never have peace till you give Him your body and soul. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Thank you for allowing us to gather together in this Family Life Center, Lord, that we've deemed as a sanctuary because we can meet with you. And I pray that you would bless this message to our hearts. Lord, I pray people would forget the ability or lack thereof in delivery. And I pray that they would walk away with the truth that we've all saved and left here to serve you. Because there's a lost and dying world, all of whom need to hear the message of the gospel. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. And I just give a word about how it's going to work. Again, at 10, there'll be the Gideon class. We'll meet right here in that section or can spill out into some others. But for cleaning's sake, it'd be nice if we keep it as close there to the center as we can. And then the other Sunday school classes will be going on for the adults, the others for the children. And so it'll be a lot of movement around. But what a wonderful day it is. We're so excited that we can launch out into this new thing. Not new, but new recently. So God bless you. You're dismissed.
Whose broad stripes and bright